Skipper Hudson on Cape Talk.
Now, one of the exciting projects at Orion, which is still in its relative infancy, is the move to create a food garden on the property. A vegetable growing tunnel and garden is the idea that will not only grow vegetables to cater for the nutritional needs of the residents here, but perhaps produce enough excess to be able to sell on to the public as an added income generating opportunity. You've just heard the CEO, Hanel, talking about the need to zhuzh up the business side of the business, if I can call it that. And that is one of the long-term plans. Several local Atlantis residents have also benefited from this project. They've come here to receive training in food gardening with a view to going back and starting their own gardens at home. And so something a little different for the food slot today. We're talking not so much about chefs and restaurants, but about growing your own food at home. And it's a great pleasure to welcome back to our studio after far too long of an absence, Ben Getz, who's the founder and managing director of Urban Harvest Edible Gardens. He's going to be talking to us about how to get up and running with your own food garden, and he's standing by to answer your questions on growing your own food so that you can enjoy the produce and cook it for yourself. Ben, it's great to have you back with us. Thanks for coming out to Atlantis.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Before we get stuck into the roots and leaves of it all, won't you just tell us a bit about Urban Harvest and what you do?
So Urban Harvest is a social enterprise which I started almost 12 years ago. We install and maintain organic food gardens in a variety of different contexts, including community projects, schools, creches, old age homes, community centers, and then also we do lots of work in private residences, hotels and restaurants. Mm-hmm. So a wide variety of contexts and a wide variety of designs. We've done 334 food gardens to date around Cape Town, and every single one of them is entirely unique in terms of its physical design, but also in terms of its the way that it engages with the people. So each project is totally unique and context specific.
I know you've set up something like more than 200 gardens on four different continents. So can you tell us what are some of the most unlikely spaces you've worked in?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is one of our best community projects so far is based in Kraaifontein, at a school in Kraaifontein. It's Cavalleria Primary School in Kraaifontein. Mm-hmm. What's so amazing about that project, I mean, of course, the success of a community project is mostly driven by the team behind it. So in that case, an amazing principal, an amazing groundsman, an amazing garden champion that we've trained and that we continue to support every month with maintenance support and resources. Mm-hmm. So an amazing team, but why I kind of bring that one up is that project was started by a woman who lives in Atlanta in the United States. She started a garden in Atlanta in the United States. Then she started a garden in Montego Bay in Jamaica. And then her third garden was Kraaifontein, South Africa. And it's obviously a long story how these links happen, but it's such a wonderful example of cross-cultural connections. So her organization, the One Love Learning Foundation, they have a soil, soul, and connection. So soil is planting food. Soul is drumming and percussion that they do with the kids at at their three schools. And connection is, of course, they have sort of a pen pal Skyping. Each of the schools has a Skyping center. And then the children from the different contexts share their knowledge of the gardens and the drumming. Last year, she flew me to Jamaica to run training for her for the garden champions of her projects in Jamaica, and I showed them how to set up a beautiful mandala garden, which we did in just 10 days. And since then, I've had two different communications from Jamaica showing me two new gardens that they have set up. Functioning, beautiful mandala garden. So really a successful example of skills transfer.
That's a fantastic success story. If you've just tuned in and you're wondering who you're listening to, Ben Getz is the founder and managing director of Urban Harvest Edible Gardens. Our food feature today is brought to you by Sushi To Go. Healthy living begins with healthy eating. So download the Sushi To Go ZA app now. We're focusing on healthy living that begins in your own garden, talking about growing your own food. And if you've got a question for Ben about your own veggie garden, about where to get started, about what's going wrong, please do give us a call on 021-446-0567 or send an SMS to 31567. You can also do what Bev's just done and send us a voice note or a WhatsApp to 072-567-1567. Bev, I'll get to your question in just a moment, but I think we must start at the very beginning, as they say. Is there such a thing as an ideal space or size garden with which to start? Or can you really make something out of any space, Ben?
For the most part, the simple answer is you can make something out of any space. I think one of the very important things is if you're growing outdoors naturally, then you need sunlight. So one of the biggest limiting factors is if your space is too shady, then it's very tricky. There are ways of reflecting sunlight into a shady space, but a good place to start is find a sunny spot. You can always create shade, and you can always shelter your spot from the wind using various forms of windbreak. My favorite and the least expensive being planting indigenous wind hardy drought resistant plants, and that's something that I noticed here at the Orion Center's garden, that it's something we can do very easily to help improve the quality of the garden, planting an indigenous windbreak right around the garden. Okay. And in this case, because it's a large garden, even a couple of rows in the garden to help break the flow of the wind and keep the plants cooler and keep them more hydrated. Yeah.
Okay, so as simple as that, planting within the garden things that will protect the garden. What about preparing the soil? I mean, I'm assuming that the soil quality is crucial if you want to have a successful garden.
It's absolutely everything. One of the biggest questions people tend to have is around pests and how do you manage pests? And the answer is always the same. The starting point is a healthy immune system means less disease, and that's the same with humans as it is with plants. So and for plants to have a healthy immune system and to be strong, the soil has to be rich. That is really the foundation. Healthy soil equals healthy plants equals healthy people. How do you make healthy soil, or how do you make and maintain healthy soil? The starting point is compost. I mean, it's a long discussion, but compost, soil conditioners, and mulch would be the three things that are required to start healthy soil. And the mulch and water content in the soil will help to maintain the correct environment for microorganisms and earthworms. You want your soil to be living, and that's why our approach is absolutely an organic approach. The second you use harmful chemicals that will preclude microorganisms that will kill the life in the soil, then the soil is unable to regenerate. So the microorganisms will actually feed on organic matter that keeps being reintroduced into the garden. One way, for example, is mulch. Straw is a kind of mulch that one could use as a thin insulating blanket on top of your prepared soil. So you would add your compost, your soil conditioners, turn it lightly, not too deeply, have a light fluffy soil, and then once that's been raked level and neat, you put a thin layer of mulch on top of that. That will help to maintain the moisture level, help to suppress weeds, create, include more organic matter into the garden, which microorganisms then feed on and make new fresh compost. So as you top up mulch, you actually add in compost slowly but surely into your garden.
Okay, let's get to the questions which are now streaming in on the WhatsApp line. Just a reminder, you're also welcome to call in on 021-446-0567. Bev says on the WhatsApp line, I've been an avid veggie and herb grower to feed my family for the last 15 years, but I'm struggling to retain moisture in the soil with this drought and high temperatures despite using plenty of compost. Two questions from Bev. How can I increase the soil's ability to hold water better? And secondly, can I use wellpoint water on my veggies?
So the answer to the first question is how can you increase the water retention abilities of the garden? The simple answer is mulch, and mulch needs to be done on the beds, and it also needs to be done on the pathways. I like to talk about an organic highway in the garden. The whole garden from edge to edge needs to be covered in organic matter so that microorganisms can move from one side to to the other of the garden, and as they move, they take nutrients and organic matter across the garden. So a thick layer of mulch on the beds and in the pathways is essential. Of course, keeping your garden, if you have the luxury and are able to have a shade, to create shade for the garden, so small shade domes or a big shade cloth right over the top of the garden. Specifically for summer, it's not essential. You don't have to do it. If your garden's working and you don't have it, don't worry. But particularly in the heat of summer, having extra shade is good. And absolutely essential is the windbreaking, which I mentioned already. You can use shade cloth, which you put along the fencing around your garden if you have fencing. That's a kind of a short-term solution. The long-term, really positive solution is planting indigenous shrubs. One, for example, in Cape Town that I really like, it's a fast-growing, very hardy, it's called Chrysanthemoides moniflora. Beautiful yellow flowers which promote pollination. It's also fast growing, so you're always cutting it back, hedging it, and the leaves that you cut off you can use for composting, feeding earthworms. You can even use those leaves in your pathways and twigs in those in your pathways as a mulch. So the mulch you put on your bed is something fine, like straw or dry grass clippings, but in your pathways you can use much rougher material like wood chippings or the stuff that tree fellers create when they just put all the different organic matter through their chippers. But as I said, even from your hedges and rougher stuff in the pathways, the mulch creates a sponge and really helps even small amounts of moisture, rather than flowing away, it helps to spread and sink the water. So you're building the groundwater in your garden and creating a biodiverse space. Because, of course, when your garden dries out, that is when the system is compromised, and then there's dis-ease, and then there's disease.
Okay. Now, the question about safe uses of wellpoint and grey water, etc., is coming through over and over on the SMS and WhatsApp line here, particularly given that we're talking about growing food that will be eaten at the end of the process, not just flowers to look at. Is it safe to be using grey water or wellpoint water?
The short answer, wellpoint, it's a good idea to have your water tested, but the short answer is yes to both. There are lots of questions around grey water for vegetable gardens. Urban Harvest actually installs grey water systems, and what we specifically do is add a constructed wetland filter. It's a biofilter. If you look along the Cape Flats close to Makaza and Khayelitsha, there's massive wetlands there. The water that those wetlands are feeding on is not, it's very polluted water, but the plants are thriving. So having a wetland filter helps to, it's actually carbon sinking, it's growing more green, it's something beautiful, but it really helps to filter the water. So the systems that we set up at the end of the grey water filtration process, the water's relatively smell-free, relatively clear, and actually it can be used through microjet irrigation, which other grey water, unless it's extra filtered, the little jets on the microjets get clogged up. But in short, you can. We've got many clients using grey water on their vegetable gardens. It also very much depends what products you are using in your home. If you're able to move towards using biodegradable, organic, eco-friendly products, that's also, of course, going to be a lot better in your vegetable garden than if you're using something toxic that will make its way into your food and then into your body. So using the right products, having a well-designed grey water system that ideally goes through an eco-filter, which is basically the lowest technology you can imagine. It's just mimicking nature. It's putting grey water, putting dirty water through a natural system, plants, roots, bacterias, basically like water running off the mountain. It gets really filtered through those natural systems.
Okay, thank you for the interesting questions, Bev, and please keep those coming. We're chatting food gardening and growing your own food today with Ben Getz, founder and managing director of Urban Harvest Edible Gardens. We'll be back after this short break. Please get calling if you've got a question. Phone us now on 021 446 0567.
Cape Talk. Call Bevver. on 021-446-0567.
At 10 minutes to 2, we continue the conversation about growing your own food. Ben Getz is our guest in studio here, broadcasting live from the Orion Organization in Atlantis, where they have made a start at setting up their own food garden with a view to not only feeding the residents here, but also one day potentially having an excess of fresh fruit and veg that they'll be able to sell as an income stream. Ben, it's many steps to get to that point of a garden that's flourishing to that extent. Let's talk a little bit about combinations. A few people asking what's easy to grow in South Africa, what's fast growing and bears quick results for those who are just getting started?
Okay, the first thing is you have to look at a seasonal planting guide. So what will work at this time of the year won't necessarily work in winter. Also, one has to look at a local guide. I'll answer for what's happening now in Cape Town.
Yep.
It's a lovely part of the year because there's a huge variety that one can plant, tomatoes, which go well, most people know, go very well with basil, also go well with marigolds and your onion family. So spring onions, tomatoes, marigold, and lettuce, for example, could come together in a bed. The rule of thumb with companion planting is the more the merrier. There are definitely certain plants that don't do well together, okay. And it's worthwhile. You can look on Google. There's a lot of different companion planting resources available. They don't all agree on everything, but normally they'll agree on what definitely doesn't work together.
Okay.
So some of the crops that I particularly love, eggplant. I mean, I love cooking with it. There's so many things you can do with it, but it's a highly productive plant. You can get something like 12 big eggplants off one plant.
Really?
They grow fairly big. But they don't need trellising or staking, which is quite nice. Tomatoes are, of course, lovely, but they are very high maintenance. They take a lot of space, and they do require trellising. Having said that, sometimes your tomato might spring out of your compost and do its own thing, and you may have tomato for 6 months. So it does depend. Spinach, well, actually it's Swiss chard. We in South Africa tend to call it spinach. Swiss chard is a favorite. Leeks are fantastic. Spring onions are fussed. You know, spring onions and lettuces and soft leafy greens are the easiest thing to start with. So soft leafy greens, things like sweet rocket, flat leaf parsley, coriander, variety of lettuces, even your sort of Asian greens. So soft leafy greens, they take the least amount of space, the least amount of time, and they tend to do very well provided they have enough moisture and that they don't get too hot.
Okay. Okay, a few people asking about growing on windowsills and in pot containers. Is it possible to do it well to the point that you have got a crop you can eat?
Not a question. It's very easy to do. In fact, container gardens do sometimes do it better than earth-based gardens, simply because you have you can choose the soil that you use. You can put the best soil and you can have a lovely depth of really good soil. Again, a really good place to start is with your soft leafy greens and your perennial herbs. Perennial meaning sort of year-round things like thyme, oregano, marjoram, rosemary. Those are super low maintenance and one doesn't need a lot of them for one's cooking. You use a small amount, it goes a long way. Normally people land up having more than they need of that. You can dry it, give it to friends. So container gardens, you need to make sure that your garden's getting sunlight, that it's sheltered from the wind, the same as another kind of garden. I mean, even we install vertical gardens and rooftop gardens, and they all really flourish.
Okay. Thank you for that feedback, and thanks to those asking questions on our WhatsApp line. We've got a few minutes in hand. If you're going to call in, please do so now on 021-446-0567. Alison sent a WhatsApp saying, we've always kept our veggie and herb garden organic, but we now have lots of little red spiders, which I can't get rid of. Any suggestions?
Like a doctor, you need to look at your garden and say, what is wrong? Look at it holistically. What's wrong in the system? Something in the whole system is not 100% right, which means that the plants are slightly compromised and therefore more susceptible to dis-ease. It may very well be as a result of the drought. In other words, there's not enough water. So I would look at how do you, especially as the summer gets hotter and it's going to go on for a while, how do you manage the water needs of your garden, grey water system, rainwater harvesting, as much as that is a little bit limited. If you can do it and you've got a roof, you should be doing it. So rainwater harvesting, grey water harvesting, and then of course well pointed borehole options, making sure that your garden's well mulched. The other thing is feeding your garden well. So yes, you've prepared good quality soil, yes, you've mulched your garden, but that's not the end of it. You should be feeding your garden on a weekly basis with liquid fertilizer, and you can make your own organic free liquid fertilizer at home. I could give you many recipes. I'll just give you one. Mm-hmm. Grow comfrey, harvest comfrey leaves, put comfrey leaves in water, let that rot. It takes about 7 to 10 days in summer. It will be very stinky. It's like a liquid manure, and it actually smells like manure, and it acts like manure with your plants. They love it. They will grow and thrive. And that's actually two birds with one stone in that case, because as you harvest your liquid fertilizer and feed your plants, you are giving them nutrients, but you're also able to deep water. You're hand watering them, and you can. It's an extra moisture for them as well.
Okay, comfrey, you said. Okay, yes. 7 to 10 days rotting in water for the magic liquid gold. Anonymous asking on the email about fruits that one can plant right now. You've mentioned some of the veggies, but if they would like fruit to harvest in winter, what should they be planting now?
You need to look at different varieties. So most fruit trees have, simple one is strawberries. That's obviously not a fruit tree that grows on the ground, and it's quite a nice one that you can do in a spot that's mostly shady. Mm-hmm. Cape gooseberries are obviously, they do very well in the Cape. Again, also not a tree. Citrus gives a harvest in winter as well. Grenadilla being a vine, which those that are familiar with them love them, and if you're not familiar with them, as long as they're not exposed to too much wind, they tend to grow very well, very fast, make a beautiful privacy screen, beautiful flowers, and actually give you delicious big grenadillas. And grenadillas are pretty expensive to buy.
Tell me about it. Yeah. Okay, before we run out of time, several people asking, following on your quote, your comment about using biodegradable washing powders, do you recommend any particular brands?
I don't recommend any particular brands. There are a lot of brands out there. I just know that I tend to go to Organic Zone in Muizenberg as a lovely spot to get health products and natural cleaning products. They can be expensive, not that store in particular, but in general they're a little bit more expensive. But there are also homemade options.
Okay, so a bit of Googling should help you find those. Yeah. I think most reputable health stores have got a good segment. I know certainly Health Fair in Rondebosch does. And, of course, you've got Faithful to Nature website. It's also a good port of call if you're looking for some suggestions. We had a question asking whether dog poo can be used as mulch.
Definitely not. All I would do with dog poo, if you're wanting to use it in the garden the thing to do with them is to feed it either to a Bokashi composting system or earthworm farm, provided you're not only putting dog poo in an earthworm farm. Earthworm farms are fantastic, and that's a whole discussion in itself. But what I can say is if you have a small earthworm farm, then putting dog poo in it's probably not a great idea, unless it's in very small quantities. If you have a bigger earthworm farm, for example, a homemade one in an old bath, in a reclaimed bath, and that's a system that we use a lot, works very well. It's a lot more robust. Then you can add things even like chilies and potato peels and citrus and garlic, which are things that earthworms tend to not like. The bigger the system, the more robust it is, and the less finicky you have to be with how you feed them. And we have got clients that use dog poo in their worm farms, and it like everything else, turns into very beautiful compost.
Okay. Ben, it's been fascinating having you with us. Just in closing, is there a website we can direct our listeners to if they'd like to make contact with you, chat to you about getting their own food garden started?
Absolutely. You can find us at www.urbanharvest.co.za.
Ben Getz, founding member of Urban Harvest Edible Gardens, thanks for being with us.